Welcome to iRun Radio. Coming up, the defense minister who runs at all hours of the night.
My schedule is obviously quite difficult to manage. And one thing I realized was, whether I'm in Ottawa or international, I just got to get up and run. So in Ottawa, on average, I'm probably running after 10 p.m. I know it doesn't work for some people, but for me, it works fine. I actually can sleep afterwards.
A runner suddenly diagnosed with a brain tumor.
Everything was normal, fine, healthy, strong. And one morning I woke up and noticed had a funny feeling in my tongue. So I went to the bathroom mirror and I took a look and I saw that my tongue had completely dropped to one side. So it was curving to the left-hand side.
And a former politician who's still running in his 70s.
You'd find yourself, all the weight of the world would be on your shoulders. Things were just not going the way you'd like. Come back after 45 minutes or so of a run, and things just looked differently. Everything just seemed to sort of sort themselves out.
On this edition of iRun Radio, we'll talk to Defense Minister Harjit Sajjan, who's on the cover of the latest issue of iRun. The winner of our Best Dressed Runner contest has a compelling story of overcoming illness. And we'll talk to a former Member of Parliament, Jack Murda, who's still running strong at age 75. But let's get things started now with the editor and general manager of iRun, Ben Kaplan. Hello, Ben.
Hey there, sir.
How are your legs feeling 1 week after the marathon?
Oh, they're feeling just fine. Yeah, I wish I could get out there and try it again.
You were in Ottawa. I was in Ottawa. We were running the marathon, not at the same time. But how did it go for you? I know you weren't overly thrilled with your time, but any day you do a marathon is a good day. That's what I always say.
And it's not even my time that bothers me so much as my strategy, because I'm like post times, you know, I'm not really
right.
So worried. I just really, every other Ottawa I've ever run, I've always run it in control, where like I'm at 35 and I still feel good, and maybe I speed up a little bit at 39, and you know, I'm running the way you're supposed to run these things. But I ran into a guy I know, and all of a sudden, you know, you start talking, and we got into the 3:15 corral, and, you know, I felt great at 21, and then, you know, we went further and further, more and more gas, you know how it goes. But, you know, I had a great time, and the crowd support was amazing, and it was just fun to be here, part of the race.
Yeah, it is a great event, and the weather was good, and I had a great experience. And, you know, I've been talking about this for a few weeks. People who listen to the podcast and radio show will know that I did the television coverage, and then I started 3 hours after the marathon began. And my goal was to draw attention to the fact that many people in life start at the back of the pack and never catch up. And I ran the course when it was mostly empty, and the water stations in some cases were closed, and I had to run on the sidewalk in some places. That's not the fault of the organizers. That's just the way that's what happens when you start 3 hours after everybody else. And, you know, the reality is, while it was a great experience, and I think I illustrated that point, it once again proved just how lucky I am, because I got terrific support. I had somebody, you know, riding
right.
a bike with me to make sure I was okay. And there were people on the course who were watching out for me to make sure that everything went smoothly. So because I'm lucky, I got to be lucky again. And that is the way life works. You know, you get to the front of the pack, and even when you make all these friends and you have all these contacts and relationships, and even when you're deliberately trying to simulate what it would be like to be unlucky, the world turns it into a good experience for you. So
it's like when Prince Harry serves in the army. For some reason, even though it's a valiant thing, they're just
yeah.
not going to put him on the front lines for some reason. Yeah,
yeah, that is an excellent example. Yeah, so you know, I think it further illustrates that point, and it's something that I'm going to continue to be committed. A point that I'm going to continue to make, and a cause that I'm going to be committed to. I've been involved in the last little while with Refugee 613, which is a group here in Ottawa that's helping to successfully integrate newcomers to Canada, Syrian refugees and others. And there's some interesting stuff going on around that. And I got to speak at the United Way Community Builder of the Year Awards this week in Ottawa on that theme as well. So we'll keep talking about it. And I'll, you know, but it was neat. It was interesting to start the marathon from the back and run on an empty course. Different experience from yours.
Yeah, well, it certainly bodes with, obviously, what we're so committed to is using running as a vehicle for more than just
exactly
losing weight and qualifying for Boston, but, you know, trying to impact our communities and trying to stand up for something and trying to make the community be about something. And it always feels best when you're doing it with some sort of
absolutely
purpose-driven pursuit. Yeah, so, yeah. You know, we applaud you and we will continue to carry you on and cover the story and
yeah.
try to pitch into where we can, for
Thank
sure.
Thank you. Yeah, and look, there's another angle to it. I mean, there was hundreds of thousands of dollars raised by people running
right.
for charity on the weekend in Ottawa. You know, there's something like 69 charities supported and something like $1 million raised for charity from all the people running. So that's a big part of the story as well. We have the new issue of iRun magazine out, and we were handing it out at the expo last weekend in Ottawa with Harjit Sajjan on the cover, the defense minister. He came by our booth. That was fun. We got to hang out with Harjit Sajjan for a few minutes.
It's great when you really see star power up close, too. I had no idea the exact, you know, the magnitude. There's this thing, and you get this with actors, the Q rating. And the Q rating is something just like a natural charisma factor that goes beyond. It's not exactly good looking and it's not exactly charming, but it's just something else where it's just people just necessarily gravitate towards that person. And it was certainly exciting to see up close what he has, that like Q factor in
yeah.
spades.
Interesting guy. And so our interview with Harjit Sajjan is going to be on the show today. And we're going to talk to a really interesting woman named Natasha Lewis. You introduced me to her. She was the winner of our Best Dressed Runner contest, which started out as, you know, kind of a fun, almost trivial sort of thing, right? It's about fashion. And we ended up discovering this runner with a really incredible story as a result.
Oh, she's got a ginormous heart, and it couldn't have gone to a nicer person. I'm just super glad that she got on the show and that we were able to acknowledge her in some
yeah,
way.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll be talking to a former member of Parliament who runs, Jack Murtaugh, who's in his 70s and still running and still very strong and healthy. So lots of great guests coming up on the show today. Ben, thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, and congratulations again on your run. Amazing stuff.
Thank you very much. And coming up next, our interview with Harjit Sajjan, the defense minister. We'll be right back. Still pounding the pavement? Ditch the sidewalks and treadmills and take it to the trail with MEC. Head to mec.ca/trailrun to get instant access to pro advice, local run crews, trail-tested gear, and Canada's largest race series. mec.ca/trailrun. Our first guest on iRun Radio this week is on the cover of the latest edition of iRun magazine. He is Canada's defense minister and a member of parliament in the Vancouver area. Harjit Sajjan, welcome to iRun Radio.
Hey, thank you for having me.
So I know a lot of people in the military run kind of because they have to, that it's part of basic training. It's part of showing, maintaining fitness and demonstrating that fitness. But did at a certain point, did you kind of get into running beyond just having to do it as a member of the military?
No, absolutely. I mean, obviously, fitness and healthy living is very important in the military. Something that we're really trying to push, especially with our new defense policy. And one of the leadership principles in the military is also to lead by example, and I've always sort of lived by that. So I've always tried to remain fit when I was in uniform and also as a police officer as well. But you realize, it's more than that. It's really about you have to look after yourself if you're going to, make good decisions for other people as well. So I've always tried to maintain a healthy lifestyle, and running is something I started getting into much later on, and actually started running half marathons probably about, I think it was 2013 is the first one that I did.
And tell me about that experience.
Like I said, I used to enjoy running, but I never really went too far beyond 10 kilometers, or I used to do a lot of hiking. And when I was in a commanding officer in my regiment, some of my soldiers came up and said, "Hey, sir, we're gonna do the half marathon, the Scotiabank half marathon, and you'd be interested in it." And I've always encouraged our members to do more. And I thought, hey, since they're being encouraged, I'm going to join in. So I said, yeah, sure. So I trained for it. But I think here's the end of 24. I trained for how I thought I should be doing the half marathon. And I ran it, and I think I did okay. I did it in about an hour and 15 minutes, but I was wiped. And I didn't realize how much energy it takes to go the extra distance. And it's only afterwards when I came back, and my kids are actually laughing at me because I'm pulling muscles where I didn't even think I had muscles. And I Googled half marathon training plans, and I thought, oh my God, there's so much, there's, you know, actually so much science behind this. And that's when I really started getting smarter about it. And that's when I really understood how what running was about running smart. I was actually running way too much. I was running too hard. And then going to the race, I was all already tired out. And then I followed a plan, a three-month plan, properly. And that's when I got to have the privilege of doing the Army Run for the first time with injured soldiers, with Soldier On. So I followed that plan literally to the letter. And then I beat my time even more, and I did the Army Run in about an hour and 44 minutes. So if you follow a plan properly, one, I actually felt really good when I finished as well. And I got a better time.
Yeah, well, that's a very good time. So your advice to people then would be to Google half marathon training plan before you run a half marathon, not after, right?
Absolutely. Do not follow my example on the first one there. But it, you know, but the other thing was, it was very energizing as well. I mean, people say, oh, like running long distance is really boring. Well, you know, you listen to music. And I have my race day selection. Now I started listening to audiobooks as well. But the energy that you get with people on the side, just cheering or running alongside people, it was quite powerful. And the Army Run is even more special because, one, you're running with people who are serving. You're running with people, injured veterans, injured soldiers, and you run across Parliament, through the past the Governor General's residence. It's a very special one.
It is a special run, and we can talk more about that in a moment. But since you mentioned it, what kind of music do you like to listen to when you're running, and what are some of the audiobooks that you've heard as well while you've been running?
Okay, I am a little embarrassed by this. So my running music is all trance music. And so I'm a very particular Euro trance with a certain beat. And my wife always gets upset because it's the same beat, right? It's the same song over and over again, even with a different one. I guess that's the point. I want to get into a certain cadence.
Okay,
and
so you're using it for the rhythm.
Exactly, yeah. So yeah. I put my mind right out of it, and off I go. So normally during race days, I'll only listen to music, but when I'm training, especially for the longer weekly runs that I do, then I'll listen to various audiobooks as well.
And do you think on the run? I know there are some people who they use that as time to kind of revisit a challenge that they're facing, or think about, in your case, maybe think about a speech that you're about to give. Do you use it for that as well?
Absolutely. I actually like to get myself pumped up for things to both get myself motivated, but also when you've had a really, really tough day and you're frustrated about something, I like to kind of run it, run it out of my system. So I like to switch up my runs, getting into the shorter, more anaerobic as well. So it all depends on how I'm kind of feeling, and if you the time of the week that I'm at, then I'll have a different run. And it really does, in my opinion, for me at least, it clears the mind, it gets you more focused, and you're able to think a lot better the next day.
And let's talk about that mental aspect, because obviously members of the Canadian Armed Forces and even people who work in emergency services, first responders, they face a very challenging job. There's a higher incidence of issues like post-traumatic stress disorder, of course. And I'm not suggesting in any way that running is going to fix or alleviate all of that on its own. But I think running can be part of mental as well as physical fitness for people who are in demanding roles like that.
No, absolutely. And I think, especially in the military, the Canadian Forces, we're getting far more smarter at how we train people. It's not just about in the past. We're just going to run really hard and see who kind of makes it, and you leave it at that. But we look at it as, what are the science behind how you build somebody up? Where, for what type of job running for a better mental health is important. And for some people who it worked for them, but there's some people it'll be a little different. Some people just like to jog, but other people like to hike more or do different type of running. And it all, you need to fit into what works for you best. And Soldier On for the Army Run has really demonstrated that when you bring people together and you do a half marathon, whether you're going to be walking it, you're going to be on a wheelchair, or you're doing, or you're going to be running it and to be your own personal time, it really does build really good resilience. The camaraderie was phenomenal as well because people are cheering each other on. So it really does a lot. I mean, when I got to do a Soldier On, it meant a lot for me and really changed my perspective for my own mental health. And it's one of the reasons I've continued on with it as well.
You must have run in some interesting places, given how much you've traveled in your life and as defense minister more recently. So is there anywhere in particular that stands out in the interesting places that you've run?
Yes, no, my schedule is obviously quite difficult to manage. And one thing I realized was, one, whether I'm in Ottawa or international, I just got to get out and run. So in Ottawa, on average, I'm probably running after 10 p.m. I know it doesn't work for some people, but for me, it works fine. I actually can sleep afterwards.
Okay, I was going to ask you that, because that's often the challenge for people, is that you run, it gets you energized and fired up, your blood's flowing, your heart's pumping, and then you can't go to sleep, but not in your case.
No, for me, I can sleep just fine afterwards. Oh, I don't know why. But if I don't do it at that time, it's not going to happen, right? And so that's one thing I found when I first started, trying to fit into my schedule other places wasn't working. You know that in the late, whether it's 10 p.m. or even midnight, you just got to get out and stick with the schedule. So so when I travel internationally, and especially when I'm training for the half marathon, you have to go out and run. I remember landing in Ethiopia, and I couldn't run outside, but I hit the treadmill, and I was on the treadmill and thought, oh, my God, I'm really tired, right? And that's when somebody comes up to me and goes, you realize what else you got here, right? And then I said, oh, okay, it's not, I'm not that out of shape. Right? But I've run, like, I'll just, whether I'm at NATO, I'll just go out for a run from the hotel into the streets. I've run in Kiev, along the water. I was recently running in Rome. That was actually really neat, running through the various streets and the parks. So I've had the opportunity to run in a lot of different places. I've also run in a lot of different bases where our troops are at as well. But any opportunity, I literally, what I try to do is when I land, regardless how late it is actually just get out there and get a workout and get me into a proper rhythm.
All right, let's talk about the Army Run. And for those people who have never done it, how would you describe what's special and unique about the Army Run? Because it really is in a category of its own as a race.
No, it really is. I ran as a soldier who was part of the injured crew, Soldier On, the first time I ran it. And that was a tremendous experience because I was with so many inspiring current serving and former members who were injured in different capacity. And you put rank aside, and it's all about supporting one another. And it was a really phenomenal moment. And then when they show up at the start line, the tremendous outpouring you get from all the other Canadians that are out there, and also a lot of serving members who are just running as well, it really makes a special of why this is important. This is another cities when you run, it's about, the great feeling, running together, people cheering on the side. But this is also, at the same time, it's an act of remembrance as well, that after all, sometimes the difficulty a serving member has gone through, whether it's some type of PTSD or a physical injury, you get inspired in so many different ways. I'll give you one example of this. There was one soldier who was injured, and it was the first time that I ran. He was picked to do the Antarctic expedition with Prince Harry, and he was one of two Canadians who got to go. And he was injured overseas in Afghanistan. But then, to train for this expedition, he pulled a car tire, the entire half marathon route to prepare for that expedition. So talk about inspiring Canadians, inspiring all of us, right?
Yeah.
And when you're talking about the challenges that you have, this person finished it, and it, was just amazing, right? The mental resilience that you can see in other people. That's what makes it so special. This is more beyond not just about you coming together as a community, but you look at others and how to support them. But more importantly, you're getting so much out of it for yourself because you're seeing people who are beating the odds.
Well, it's great to hear your perspective on the Army run and to hear your own experiences as a runner. Minister, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
No, thank you very much for having me, and thanks very much for also highlighting the tremendous work our members do, and I just encourage everybody to come out to the Army run.
That's Canada's Defense Minister, Harjit Sajjan. You can read more about him and his running and the Army run in the latest issue of iRun. Check it out at irun.ca. Coming up next, a runner who recently learned of a worrisome diagnosis. Still pounding the pavement? Ditch the sidewalks and treadmills and take it to the trail with MEC. Head to mec.ca/trailrun to get instant access to pro advice, local run crews, trail-tested gear, and Canada's largest race series. mec.ca/trailrun. A few weeks ago, we launched a fun contest looking for the best-dressed runner in Canada, and through that, we discovered the remarkable Natasha Lewis, who is recovering from surgery to remove a brain tumor. Natasha, thank you for joining us on iRun Radio.
Well, thank you for having me.
So let's talk a little bit about your story. We met you through this fashion contest, which is a fun little endeavor that we embarked upon. Your story, of course, is quite serious, but before we get to the serious part of it, we were looking for the best dressed runner, I guess. And tell me what attracted you to this and how we ended up connecting with you.
Well, I basically, I follow iRun on Facebook and through the website as well. And I saw that Ben had posted a contest for Brooks for best dressed. And I thought, well, usually before a race, I tend to like to match my outfits and or do a splash of color. And I thought I'll send him an email and see if, you know, if I win, which I didn't think I would because I know a lot of people must have applied. And he got back to me right away and he told me that, tell him a little bit about myself, which I did. And that was the rest of history. So I was quite surprised to see that I did win and I was happy about it. Of course, a new outfit always helps, especially
sure.
with running.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I know that's a big part of the appeal for many runners is getting to wear some cool running clothes.
Definitely, yes, 100%. Yeah, for sure.
So tell me a little bit about the picture that you sent in.
Well, the picture that I sent in, so I was telling Ben that I tend to like to wear darker colors probably most of the time on the bottom and then a splash of color, something really bright on top. Or if I don't do that, then I'll do the whole outfit dark and my sneakers are definitely always pop blue or yellow or pink. So my kids and my husband can kind of see me through the crowds because they come to all my races. So with all the colors going on, I thought, well, this could stand out. So, and it usually does. So that's why I stuck with that.
Yeah. So look, there's it's not just about the fashion. There's a practical aspect to it as well. You want to stand out in the crowd for the people who are cheering you on.
For sure. 100%. Yes.
Yeah. But it also sounds like you get a kick out of this too, right? You like
it.
I do.
Yeah. I do.
Yeah. You put a lot more thought into what you're wearing when you run than I do, for example.
Not on my training days. Those are normal wear there. But for the race itself, yes. I want to, you know, the photos themselves, when you do get your race photos, you know, you want to be like, yeah, that looks great, you know?
Yeah, that's a good thought. I always just want it to look like I'm running and not like I'm dancing or walking when I get the race photos. Because when you get a still photo of somebody running, sometimes it doesn't look like they're running that hard.
But, that's true. That's a good point, yeah.
Tell me a little bit about how running became a part of your life.
Yeah, sure. Well, I've been running now just over 7 years, off and on. I started running when I was 31, going on 32, with my first son. He was just a year. And being a first-time mom, I put on a lot of weight, and I wasn't very active, and I've always been an active person, and I decided I'm going to start running. And I've never done long-distance running ever. And I decided to follow a program called C2 5K, and I started my journey in a small island called Trinidad and Tobago. I was living there with my husband and our son, and my first week doing the program, it basically walks you through run 1 minute, walk 1 minute, and you do that several times, and eventually gets you up to a 5K. And I still can remember the first time I ran 5 minutes straight, and I thought, this is impossible. How am I doing this without dying? And I continued that on, and I completed my first 5K in the island. So since then, I've been hooked. So.
And where has it taken you from there?
Well, from there, we were there for 4 years, and then got sponsorship from my husband to come to Canada. And when we came, we moved to Ottawa, and we settled in here. And I decided I'd stopped running for a bit, and I had put on some weight again with my third child at that point. And I said, nope, this is it. This is for me. I need to do this. And just over just about a year and a half ago, I lost 80 pounds in a year.
Wow.
And I was completing, different races. So my first race was, my goal race to lose the weight was the military, the Army Run, sorry, in September of 2016. And it was a half marathon I'd set up for myself. And I completed the race. At that point, I'd lost about 60 pounds. And then I gave myself to the end of the year to finish off the rest of the pounds. And it's been off since then.
So let's talk about the health challenges you faced recently. Tell me about how you discovered that you had a brain tumor. How did this come about?
Basically, everything was normal, fine, healthy, strong. And one morning I woke up and noticed I had a funny feeling in my tongue. So I went to the bathroom mirror and I took a look, and I saw that my tongue had completely dropped to one side, so it was curving to the left-hand side. And I thought, oh, this is odd. I didn't have a stroke, or I don't feel ill. So I went to my family doctor, and they sent me to do some nerve testing. And I did all the testing, and that came back normal. So they decided to send me for an MRI, which the nerve technician said, it's probably going to be nothing. And about 2 days later, they called me back and they said, well, they found something, which I was totally blown back because I didn't think it was anything serious. And they told me it was a tumor. So when you hear tumor, you think cancer, or you think, you know, it's the end, and you have all these worst thoughts come to your mind and you don't know nothing about it. And they try to keep you calm and relaxed. And they explained later down the line that they believe it was a tumor called a schwannoma. And it is a nerve tumor that attaches on to different nerves all throughout the body. And mine was attached to the 12th nerve, which controls the tongue and swallowing. Luckily, my swallowing wasn't intact. It was just my tongue. So I had to do several MRIs, CAT scans, to the point where they came and said, okay, we're going to have to do surgery because it's going to grow. Even though it's very slow growing, it's going to grow, and it's going to cause you more problems down the line. So we decided to go with surgery, which we did this year.
Yeah, which was only a few weeks ago, right?
Yes, yeah.
And so far it seems like it was successful?
It was, and they told my husband while I was still sleeping, they told him that they removed 99% of it, and I do not have to do any radiation. And they were very thrilled of the outcome because they didn't think they would be able to get most of it out.
Okay, so that's very encouraging.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, and so what happens now? And obviously, you haven't been running while you've been going through this. So when can life kind of get back to normal a little bit for you?
Well, I'm hoping when I find out Monday, what they will be able to tell me is maybe another week or so that I'll be able to start back. So I'll probably have to go back to like running maybe like half a mile to a mile or so and walk and build myself back up. I mean, I just don't want to push myself too hard. But I've been walking almost every day a mile and a half, so to try to keep up my activity level. And so I'm hoping within a week to 2 weeks I should be back out there.
And what will it mean to you to be back to normal, not just with running, but with everything in your life to the extent that you can after this big surgery?
Well, for me, I mean, I'm a mom of three. So in little ones, it's 8, 6, and 2, Jaden, Sophie, and Kaylee. And I'm a stay-at-home mom right now. So my husband is working. And I want to be able to give them all my attention, all my energy, because they do have a lot of it. So I know the fact that I won't be as tired or as a little bit, you know, dizzy or weak, I'll be able to be back with them again and play with them and spend as much time with them as possible, as well as have my time for myself in the mornings to go for my run. So,
yeah.
Well,
I hope that it comes as soon as possible for you, and that soon the biggest thing you'll have to worry about again in your life is what you're going to wear for a race.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be nice to be in that place again, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I can't wait. I mean, I did sign up for the Army Run in September for the challenge, the 10K, the 5K followed by the 10K.
Good
so,
for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
You've got a goal.
That's my goal, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. Well, I wish you the best of luck, and it sounds like you're off to a great start in terms of the recovery, so I hope it continues that way. Natasha, thank you so much for joining us on the show, and the best of luck to you.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
That's Natasha Lewis, who happens to be the winner of our Best Dressed Runner contest. Coming up next, a 75-year-old former MP who is still running strong. Still pounding the pavement? Ditch the sidewalks and treadmills and take it to the trail with MEC. Head to mec.ca/trailrun to get instant access to pro advice, local run crews, trail-tested gear, and Canada's largest race series. mec.ca/trailrun. Jack Murta was a member of Parliament from 1970 to 1988, and while he's not running for Parliament anymore, he is still running. Jack, welcome to iRun Radio. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you, Mark. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Yeah, and I understand you took up running when you were a member of Parliament. Is that right?
That's right. That's right. I ran I started running because of the lifestyle, and I was smoking a lot at that time, so I knew I needed a change, so I started running at noon, generally. That's about the only time I had. From the House of Commons down along the canal, generally that would be the way, or else going out west, out toward Island Park Drive. And, it would be a 45-minute run or something like that along. Well, when I first started, of course, it was a walk run. And then I, you know, gradually increased it.
And what did you find it did for you at that time?
Well, I found I could go in the afternoon, go to question period, and it did, and it's still the same way for me after all these years. It just you just felt better. Your head was in a better space. You know, you could leave it for a run, and you'd find yourself all the weight of the world would be on your shoulders. Things were just not going the way you'd like. Come back after 45 minutes or so of a run, and things just look differently. Everything just seemed to sort of sort themselves out. I'm one of these people that likes to run primarily by myself, and that's my sort of my quiet time, I guess, and my free time. I don't run with, you know, an iPod or anything like that. I just run just to get out into the nature if I can, and I just found that was a way to clear my head in the afternoon, and quite often just basically flew by.
And at this time, I gather there probably would not have been a lot of members of Parliament who were running, right?
No, very few. There is now, of course, on the Parliament Hill, but at that time it was very few. That was before shops like the Running Room and that came into being, and
yeah.
The shoes were just heavier, and they're kind of clunkers now. You would take a look at them at the various ways the shoes are now. And, you were just plotters almost at that point in time.
Yeah.
But it was, once again, it was what it was because you didn't know you had anything else to wear, to use or to wear. And that would be about 1978, I guess, probably, because I ran about 2 years and then you know, started running marathons.
Yeah. And I've seen pictures from the Ottawa Marathon in those days, and there's a lot of cotton and there's a lot of tennis shoes, I think is how I would describe them.
That's right.
Sneakers,
that's
basically,
right.
Not specialized running shoes, right?
That's right, very much so.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes all kinds, I think, to do this. And I ran for I remember training for my first marathon, running with a group of runners at that point. And the chap and myself ran at the back of the pack, nice and slow, and he'd light a cigarette and we'd pass it back and forth between us, of all things. So it's hard to believe that happened.
Wow. So tell me about that first marathon experience.
Well, the first one was in Ottawa, and it was we lived out on Island Park Drive, and I remember at that time it was from the Carleton University down to the Parkway, and then out to the on Island Park Drive out to the turnaround and coming back. There was nobody on the course, nobody at all, except my wife and a neighbor and our two small children. They had a sign, you know, "Go Daddy, Go" sign at Island Park Drive and the Parkway. And that was about it. That was until we got back into town. So I remember being a hot day. There wasn't a lot of water stations, although they certainly were there. But I can remember thinking I was going to die. I would never do this again. And, you know, by the time I got home from the run at that time, I think I ran it in 3 hours. And, well, my best time was, I guess, 3:42 or something. This is about 3:52. I was thinking about where is the next one, so I had gotten the bug at that point.
Yeah, so it didn't take very long for you to get hooked on it.
Not very long at all. No, I mean I knew I enjoyed it. I'd never enjoyed sprinting. You know, the 5K always just made me feel like my heart was going to kind of burst out of my chest, and the 10K was not much better. But I enjoyed, and they didn't really have much for half marathons at that time.
Yeah.
But I really did enjoy the long, slow runs, and I would go out. I always used to think, you know, you'd start maybe 4-5 months before your marathon, and the longest long runs were normally in the 3 hours, 3:10, 3:15, but I'd always try to, in between that, just as I was running normally, to run for, say, 2 hours on a Saturday. That kind of kept you in the ballpark, so that if you ever decided to run another race, you'd wouldn't be a great step up to get into that 3 hour range where you'd you'd feel relatively comfortable when you're through.
And so you've been running basically for 40 years, is that right?
Pretty much, yeah. I've ran 40 marathons now.
Wow.
I haven't ran a marathon every year, but one year I ran three, and that was too much. The third one was in Seattle, and it was really tough. It added about 15 minutes, I think, onto my time. But normally I have run a lot of two marathons twice in 1 year. And when I moved back to Winnipeg after I left politics in 88, I think from about 89 until 93, I was the head of the Manitoba Marathon.
Okay.
So I was the head of the organizing committee for the Manitoba Marathon. And we had about that time about within all the various venues, the marathon, the half, that time a half marathon, and that about 10,000 people ran in that at that time.
And what is it that's kept you going and wanting to do more marathons over all these years?
Well, I think basically it's a lifestyle. I feel good. I feel it's a wonderful accomplishment. I mean, I just feel good about doing something like that, pushing myself past what would be a normal level, I guess, of activity. We got into, at least I got into a situation where my wife and I, this wasn't a great thing for her, but she was good enough to be with me and put up with it. But our holidays basically became marathons.
Right.
You know? So I ran marathons in different countries all around the world. This was, we'd go for a holiday, I'd go for do a run, and then we'd spend some time doing visiting the country itself. So there's been a number of them, and it got to be a lifestyle. It's like now even at you get up in the morning, and every second day I run, and I will take an extra day off quite often before I run long on the weekends, usually Saturday, not Sunday, and I just feel better for doing it. And thankfully, I'm a midfoot runner, so I don't run, I'm not a heel striker. I was a really terrible heel striker at one point, but I'm a midfoot runner, and I haven't been injured now for 8-9 years.
Wow, good for you.
Yeah.
And if you don't mind me asking, how old are you now?
I'm 75.
Wow. And you're running four times a week. Good for you.
4 times a week. Yeah, usually 45 minutes minimum, but quite often I try to do it about an hour.
Yeah.
You know, everything changes as you can, because I run with a heart rate monitor all the time, but because you're always so conscious of your heart and everything else when you're running, you know, and you find yourself slowing down a bit over that period of time, not a great deal, because occasionally I'll try to run, you know, as quickly as I can, and it's a little bit slower, but not a great deal. But you're really very sensitive to your body aches and pains and heart rates, and when you go to your doctor, you know, these are the things that you always discuss with them.
Yeah, you're in tune with your body as a runner.
Yeah, I mean, I would never run anymore without a heart rate monitor. I've started doing that maybe 10 years ago or so, and to me, that's the single best way to train, certainly, anyways, with a heart rate monitor, because your heart doesn't lie to you.
Yeah.
Your brain can, you know, you can feel great, but you just can't kind of put that extra effort out. But your heart will tell you what's good, what's bad, whether you should slow down or take a day off and that kind of thing. And it has always been, it's been something that's never, I mean, I watch that very closely.
Now, getting back to some of your marathons, where are some of the more interesting places that you've run?
England was an interesting one. One of the more interesting ones was Los Angeles, and I had a good chance that I had got to know fairly well Muhammad Ali at that point. He was a Grand Marshal of the race, so we spent time together.
Wow.
Ran a number in Vancouver. London, England is an interesting one. Some of it's a bit difficult because you run over cobbles for a little bit of the streets, but it finishes in Buckingham Palace. Raleigh, North Carolina. I ran Boston, New York three times, Vancouver three or four times, and Manitoba, of course, four or five times, Ottawa about three times. So these are some of the things, you know, Chicago four times. So these are a lot of this is the kind of, most of it's been in North America, but not at all. I haven't ran any of the Scandinavian countries or anything like that, but it's just been a good way of doing it. I can remember running in a marathon in Raleigh, going back to the airport with two other fellows. They were older than I was, and they were running together. You could tell they were friends, some from California, and I thought I'd ran a lot. It was about 38 marathons at that time. And they asked me, and they were up to 96 marathons.
Wow.
So they made me feel like I was a kid almost doing it. But they were, you know, this is what they do. This is basically their long runs were marathons. So it just made them feel good.
Well, Jack, it's a great pleasure to speak to you and to hear your passion for running. And it's so inspiring to hear you talk about it and to know that you're running four times a week at age 75 and feeling good about it. So thank you very much for joining us on the show. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Mark. I appreciate what you're doing, too. I know you're a great runner. You've written some good books on it. So congratulations and keep it up, too.
Well, thank you very much. That's very kind. That's former Member of Parliament Jack Murta, who is still running at age 75. Coming up on next week's edition of iRun Radio, we're going to talk to the Minister of Sport, Kirsty Duncan. Hope you can join us then. Thank you for listening. Have a great week.